Genesis chapter 16. I do love hearing the Bible pages turn as we turn to the book of Genesis. Of course, it's a little concerning when it takes a little long to find Genesis. But nonetheless, we're here. Genesis chapter 16. We're going to read one verse together in unison. We're reading from the King James Bible. Genesis chapter 16. And verse number 9, Genesis 16, verse number 9, and let's read together, shall we? And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. I'm going to talk to you this morning about returning, going back, and making reconciliation, even as difficult as it may be. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for church this morning. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. Lord, I pray, dear Holy Spirit of God, that you speak to our hearts concerning this truth about repairing what we can, restoring what we can, reconciling what we can, and obeying thee to the best of our ability. It may not seem the best possible way at the moment, but Lord, your word is always right. And help us to trust it. Help us to obey it. Please bless, meet with us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Start reading in Genesis 16 in verse number 1 as we go through the story here. In Genesis chapter 16, verse number 1, the Bible says, now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid, it may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abram, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she was conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarai, behold, thy maid is in thy hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarai dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress, Sarai. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shalt call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. She had no way out. She wished to die. Can you imagine playing second fiddle to Sarai? Hagar was probably mocked and ridiculed and laughed at. She was criticized nonstop. She was made fun of, including the son that she was about to bear of mixed race, half Syrian, half Egyptian. Hagar being from Egypt. Abram brought Hagar back from Egypt when he sojourned down there. And by the way, the longer you stay in Egypt, the more sin and heartache you're going to bring back with you. You're going to suffer the consequences of leaving the will of God and going down to Egypt world. You try to picture yourself as Hagar right now. In her mind, she was stranded. She was all by herself. Lonesome, lonely, no family. She left Egypt never to see her family again. Can you imagine how many lonely nights she spent? Can you imagine how many tears she must have shed? Can you imagine being so helpless and vulnerable in a new land that you're unfamiliar with and with a different kind of people? She no longer could see or hear her parents, her siblings, their laughter, their singing.
couldn't play with her nieces and nephews anymore. She has no pictures to remind her of her back home. She has no pictures of when she was young growing up. She had no photo album to reminisce about her family and her friends. Can you imagine how homesick she must have been? Can you imagine how upset her stomach must have been? Can you imagine the constant headache she must have had enduring Sarai's wrath with no escape? Can you imagine how envious and jealous Sarai was at her? Can you imagine how Sarai picked on every little thing that Hagar said or did? It was a constant and daily anger that was unrelenting. Sarai, as good as she was, had her faults. It's very obvious here. First Peter tells us that Sarah was a godly woman, that the ladies are supposed to follow her example. She obeyed her husband and followed her husband. But even the best of Christians sometimes have their weaknesses and their sins and their errors and their faults. Sometimes the best of Christians cannot see how immature they can be at times. Sometimes the best of Christians get angry for no reason at all at others, when in reality, it's a character flaw of their own. Sometimes the best of Christians refuse to admit when they're wrong. It happened to Solomon. It happened to Abraham. It happened to David. It happened to Elijah. It happened to Job. It happened to Peter. It happened to Moses. It can happen to you. And you can also be the brunt of that sinful conduct as Hagar was. Here, Hagar sees a godly woman like Sarai in so many ways, and she cannot comprehend in her mind why Sarai is purposely trying to run her down every opportunity she gets. Hagar is wondering to herself, what did I do? Hagar did exactly what Sarai requested of her. It doesn't make sense to Hagar. In Genesis 16, verse 6, the Bible says, Sarai dealt hardly with her. The only obvious solution to both Sarai and Hagar is that Hagar leave. So Sarai packs up and leaves, being with child. You can imagine, ladies, being with child, leaving because of all the yelling, the arguing, the nitpicking, the harassment, the ridicule, the anger, the wrath, the belittling that Hagar was constantly going through on a daily basis. She leaves not having any idea where she's going to go. And I'm sure she must have thought that she'd rather die than continue to go through what she's going through. She leaves. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 16, verse 7, the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shur. And he said, verse number 8, and he said, Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go? And she said, I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai. She didn't even want to see her face again. Her face reminded her of the constant bickering and the mocking and the ridicule she had to endure. But contrary to what she wanted to hear, contrary to what the government of the United States and the county government and the city government and your friends tell you today, in the very next verse, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. And this angel gives her a little insight as to why and what the future looks like. The angel says in verse number 10, I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude. Verse 11 says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction. Ladies and gentlemen, God hears your cry, and God hears your affliction. Amen. You know, an affliction is a non-tangible description of what's happening. A cry, a tear, a sigh, anguish. You know, those are tangible and objective things that can be observed and seen and felt. An affliction, though, is in the eye of the one being afflicted. But the Bible says that God heard her affliction. Not only does God see your affliction, he hears your affliction. She was told by God to go back. Job cursed the day that he was born. He lost his health, lost his wealth, and lost all his children. God put Job through the fire to refine him like gold, and God blessed him later on with twice as much as he had at the end than he had at the beginning. Have you ever read the 42 chapters of the book of Job? Job said in Job 13, 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Jonah wished to die. After he led the largest soul-winning event in mankind's history, this Jewish boy led 120,000 black people to Christ even though he was rebellious and cold-hearted. But God used him nonetheless. And God will use you regardless of what your heart's condition is right now, because you don't think God will ever use you. But God used him. If God can use Jonah, he can use you. Jonah went the opposite direction when God called him. God will use you. Jonah was not right with God, and yet God used him to save 120,000 people from hell. I wonder what God can do with you if you just go back to God, go back to church, go back to your family, even if you don't want to and don't feel like it. Elijah wished to die. He faced 850 Baal priests and false prophets on Mount Carmel and cut them all up. He called fire down from heaven. He raised the dead, but yet he ran from Jezebel. The man who made it stop raining for 3.5 years and then prayed and God made it rain again. You can reminisce about the great things that God's done in your past, and you can say to yourself that you'll never be able to be used of God again. Well, Elijah didn't know that he was going to be the example to Elisha and to teach Elisha, and for Elisha to do twice as many miracles that are recorded in the Bible than his teacher and example, Elijah himself. Daniel was in the lion's den. He didn't do anything wrong. He was obeying God. It was not his fault he was thrown in the lion's den. He loved God. But he was willing to die for his love for God. I want to remind you that the line of the tribe of Judah showed up in the lion's den, though. And the Lord Jesus Christ was no match for the lions they put in Daniel's den. The three Hebrew boys in the fiery furnace, they were thrown in there for obeying God, not bowing down to the religious contemporary music that's filling up so many church houses today. Little did the three Hebrew boys know that Jesus was with them the entire time. And if you're a child of God, Jesus said that he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Never. You may think he has, but he would never go contrary to his word. Your thinking is what's messed up. Jeremiah was put in the dungeon for preaching against his own people. And that's why most pastors today choose not to preach against the sins of the people in their own congregation. Jeremiah preached against the false prophets and the false pastors who are lying to God's people. Jeremiah knew full well the consequences of doing what he was doing. It'd be the same today. If he were alive today, he'd be preaching against all these fake, phony, fraud charlatans masquerading as pastors who do not use the King James Bible, or who don't teach their people about the King James Bible being the Word of God. And if you don't know the Bible is the King James Bible, then you better get your Bible out and go online and search why the King James Bible is the Word of God, because that pastor is lying to you if you don't know that. Amen. John the Baptist was beheaded by Herod for preaching against the king for having his brother's wife. The New Testament church in the book of Acts was persecuted for soul winning and separating from the world. The Apostle Paul was beheaded by Nero for preaching and teaching the truths of the Word of God. The Apostle John was exiled to the island of Patmos for preaching and teaching. In Revelation chapter number 9, verse 15, the Bible says there's four angels that are prepared for an hour, a day, a month, a year. Can you imagine your whole life, your whole eternity being prepared for 1 hour, 1 day, 1 month, and 1 year? Well, God's preparing all of you for something in the future that he wants to use you for. All you have to do is go back to God. All you have to do is return to God. All you have to do is reconcile back with God and anybody else that you've fallen out with. After the man Elimelech left the will of God because of the famine in the land of God at Bethel, he thought he had a lack of money, but when he went to Moab, he and his two boys died in a foreign land. And Naomi returns back to where her husband should have been and should have never left, should have never taken her. And she comes back empty. She says, I left full, but I come back empty. But she didn't realize she brought Ruth back with her. John Mark left the Apostle Paul while Paul was on one of his foreign soul winning trips, starting churches, getting people saved. John Mark wanted to go back home. John and Barnabas split because of the disagreement they had over John Mark. But years later, after John Mark matured, Paul decided to take him back, and John Mark ended up back where he was supposed to stay the entire time. Well, we never hear from Barnabas again. Peter cursed and denied Jesus, but got right with God and had 3,000 people saved and baptized in one day. All you have to do is return to God, come back to God just like they did. You think it's too late. The devil's poisoned your mind. You think you've left God for good. You think you've gone too far. You think you've hurt too many people. You think you disappointed too many people. You think you've ruined too many lives. You think your testimony will never be salvaged. You think others will laugh and mock at you. You think others will never forget what you've said or what you've done to them. You think you will never be able to do something for God. You think that God Almighty cannot turn the curse into a blessing. The problem is, ladies and gentlemen, your thinking. Your mind has been poisoned by the devil and his crowd. My God is a God of mercy and reconciliation. My God is a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances and 70 times seven chances. My God is a God of forgiveness. Even when others will not forgive you, God will forgive you. Even when others will not believe you, God will use you. Even when others will laugh and mock, my God welcomes his children back home. My God says, Jesus praying for you right now. My God says that he will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Take your Bible, please, turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 3, please. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Too often we listen to the devil's crowd. We get discouraged. We get despondent. We get disillusioned. We think God will never use us again. I'm telling you, I don't care what your condition is right now. If you're a child of God, God will use you if you let him. If you just let him. Just let him. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Paul writes in verse number 10, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Watch this. Persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Amen. Why did God use the Apostle Paul? Because he realized he had to endure all the persecutions and everything that came his way. James chapter number 5, please. James chapter number 5. James chapter number 5. Verse number 10, the Bible says, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of what? Suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. That's what it says. You know why you're not happy? Because you're not obeying what God said to do, and your conscience bothers you. Now, you can listen to all the jokesters you want. You can listen to all the comedians you want. You can get all the joke books you want, but it's your conscience that's bothering you. He said, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Amen. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. You can't see the end of your book. Hey, maybe the first 3, 5, 6 chapters have been written, but the last 2, 3, 4, 5 chapters are yet to be written. And you can let God change the story of your book right now. 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter number 2. Verse number 13 is exactly what the angel told Hagar. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. Hey, I know it's difficult at times. I know it's a heartache. I know it's a burden. I know the trials that some of you have gone through. I understand that. But you know what God says? Stay put. If you've left, return. Go back. And endure whatever you're going through, and God Almighty will bless it beyond your imagination. Don't leave. Don't do what the world teaches people, to quit all the time, throw in a towel, surrender all the time. Don't you do that. You surrender to God and you endure whatever God's put you through, whatever your lot in life is, ladies and gentlemen. Hebrews chapter number 6, please. Hebrews chapter number 6. The easiest thing to do is quit. The easiest thing to do is walk away. That's the easiest thing to do. How about doing that which is right and doing and obeying God? Hebrews chapter number 6.
verse number 13. That ye be not, I'm sorry, verse number 13. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Hey, Abraham had his faults. Abraham had his sins. I mean, this book puts out everybody's dirty laundry. Aren't you glad your dirty laundry is not in the Bible for everybody to see for all generations or all eternity? But Abraham was a great man. He had heartaches and burdens just like you do. But the Bible says he endured patiently. And so, verse number 15, after he patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patiently endure, and you're going to receive the promise of God, ladies and gentlemen. Look at chapter number 10, Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Verse number 31, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. One day you and I are going to be called to stand one by one before the judgment throne. And you and I are going to give an account of what we have done with what God has given us. What our lot in life was. Did we shirk our responsibility? Do we run from our responsibility? Do we own up to it? Do we try to do the best we can to reconcile? He says in verse number 32, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated, watch this, ye endured a great fight of afflictions, partly whilst ye were made a gazing stock, both by reproaches and afflictions, and partly whilst ye became companions of them that were so used. You can blame anybody what we want, but you know what? You're going to make a decision on whether you go back to God or not, and you're not going to be able to blame anybody at the judgment seat. Look at Hebrews chapter number 12. This is after we're done reading all of Hebrews chapter number 11, the famous heroes of the faith, as we call them. Hebrews chapter number 12, verse number 1. And you read Hebrews 11, starting from verse number 34, 35, all the way to the end, what they went through. They were tortured, trials of cruel mocking, scourgings, bonds of imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn asunder, tempted, slain with the sword, wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. In verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth, but they didn't leave God. They suffered those things because of their belief in God and their love for God. Then we come to Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, because of all that, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Hey, my race is not your race not my race. I don't know what your lot in life is, but God's given you something in your life that you're not supposed to quit, you're not supposed to shirk, you're not supposed to run from. Amen. That's what the world's teaching you. God says, go back, Hagar. God says, Hagar, return back, go back. Yeah, but you don't know what she put me through. God said, go back, submit yourself. Because with God, all things are possible. You and I just leave God out of the equation too often. Look what he says here. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You better thank God that Jesus went to the cross because he had you in his mind. Jesus was thinking about you when he went to the cross. And you better thank God he endured the cross because we wouldn't be saved, ladies and gentlemen, today. We wouldn't be on our way to heaven if Jesus quit and Jesus threw in the towel and said, I'm not going to go through this anymore. And then he says, consider him. He was sinless. He was spotless. He was God Almighty. You and I, we deserve what we get. We're a bunch of sinners. But my Bible says, consider Jesus. God is faithful, not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able,
But will the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it? Your spouse leaves you. Your children forsake you. Your parents disown you. The doctor tells you you have cancer. Your house is going to be foreclosed upon. But God's still on the throne, ladies and gentlemen. Don't you leave. You let other people leave. Don't you leave. Whatever the reason why you find yourself where you're at right now, nonetheless, that is your reality. People today have a very difficult time facing the reality they're in. It seems like the vast majority of people want somebody else's life because there's some aspect of their life that is not meeting up to their expectations. Wherefore doth a living man complain, a man for the punishment of his sins? Lamentations 3:39. Sometimes in a valley in the darkest of night, God leads his dear children along. Though sorrows befall us and Satan opposed, through grace we can conquer, defeat all our foes. God leads his dear children along. For I know whatever befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Whatever befall me, not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies, but a smile quickly drives it away. Not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Amen. Though Satan should buffet, though trials should come, let this blessed assurance control that Christ hath regarded my helpless estate and has shed his own blood for my soul. Can you say it is well with your soul? Can you say this morning, whatever you're going through, Hagar, that it's well with your soul? Get back. Go back. Reconcile. God's still on the throne. Amen. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Does Jesus care? When my heart is pain, too deeply for mirth and song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long, does Jesus care when my way is dark with a nameless dread and fear? As the daylight fades into deep night shades, does he care enough to be near? Does Jesus care when I've tried and failed to resist some temptation strong? When for my deep grief I find no relief, though my tears flow all the night long? Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me? And my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks as it ought to him. Does he care? Oh, yes, he cares. I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Love lifted me. Amen. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Amen. I need thee every hour. Stay thou nearby. Temptations lose their power when thou art nigh. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide or life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, I come to thee. Amen. Feel like quitting today? Feel like throwing in the towel today? God told Hagar, return, go back, reconcile. My soul in sad exile was out on life's sea, so burdened with sin and distress, till I heard a sweet voice saying, make me your choice. And I entered the haven of rest. I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus, I'm safe evermore. There is not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark, but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Too often and most times, we fail because we choose unwisely. The wrong partners, wrong spouses, wrong churches, wrong type of work, wrong places to live, friendships, place of employment, not teaching your children correctly, your finances, your health, your future, and all, the list goes on and on. Those are the most difficult situations and issues to deal with. Those include regrets over rash decisions and unwise, immature decisions that we made. One of the biggest reasons why people are so addicted to drugs, to alcohol, and other vices is because they want to escape from the reality of what their lot is in life or what their perceived lot in life is. what they think is their lot. They can't see their future. They can't see the future after they're dead and gone even, but God can. People are running away from responsibility today. People are shirking their burdens and just leaving. They move far away to get away from their past. They become bitter. They become cold-hearted. They close themselves off from others because they do not want to be hurt again. Children forsake their parents, and parents forsake their children. Wives leave their husbands, and husbands leave their wives. God's people leave their churches, and churches have left God's people. Americans have left the foundational truths of liberty and that started this country, and America itself has left God. Employees leave their jobs. Employers have fled overseas for cheaper labor. Friends forsake their friends because of differences in personalities. My wife and I have been married 35 plus years, ladies and gentlemen. You do not have a marriage that lasts that long without difficulties and disagreements. And obviously, it's my wife that's always been wrong. I've never been wrong. That I know about, obviously. I didn't get enough amens on that. I'm sorry. But the easiest thing to do is to walk out because you don't like your lot in life. When you leave your marriage, you're saying that God is wrong in the Bible, or you don't care what God says in the Bible because your mind has been poisoned by the world to just leave when you can't take it anymore, when things don't go your way anymore. Why don't you just buy a season pass at Great Escape so you can escape reality, and buy a season pass at Pissy World and go play all the games and ride all the amusements for the rest of your life and act like a little baby who throws a temper tantrum and leaves in the middle of a game because it's not going the way that they wanted to go. You don't have a church for 31 years in communist New York without difficulties and problems. When you have people that come from all kinds of backgrounds and all kinds of nationalities, all kinds of education, all kinds of government brainwashing, all kinds of immaturity, no manners or little to no character, criminal, psychological problems, it can be very difficult to deal with all those different personalities when you have to teach and preach the truths of salvation and separation as God has clearly outlined in the Word of God. We live in a day and age today that professing believers do not even know what the Word of God is. You have to teach them that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Amen. And all these other pastors say otherwise are a bunch of lying, fake, phony, and fraud leaders. It'd be easy for someone just to leave, pack up their bags and leave. But God says, you stay. God says, you go back. God says, you help. God says, you reconcile. And you'll see the blessings maybe after you're dead and gone. This life is not about you, it's about others. And God will bless you along the way if you realize it's about others, not about yourself. Amen. Hagar wanted to leave. She felt like leaving. She had no way out. You've never had it that bad. God said, go back, and she went back. Good people will let you down. Good people will even hurt you. Why don't you let God use you to teach even them how to love, how to be kind, how to be merciful, how to forgive. I say stay. If you've left, go back, Hagar. If you've left, return, Hagar. If you've left, reconcile, Hagar, because that's the will of God in your life, in my life. Let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for being such a wonderful God, such a merciful God. We can't even realize how merciful, forgiving you are. I want to thank you, dear God, for salvation. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks. I pray that you bless them. I know they have heartaches and burdens. I know they weep at night. I know they think things will never get better. We just can't see the future. We have no idea what our children are going to turn out to be like. We have no idea what's one of these Sunday school kids or junior church kids. We have no idea what their life's going to be like 5, 10, 20 years from now. We can't see them preaching behind a pulpit, these boys that make fusses and yell and run and scream and cause problems and we pull our hair out. We can't see them on a mission field right now. We can't see them knocking on doors and going soul winning right now. But the devil will love to pollute our minds saying it's not worth it, just give up, quit. Oh, dear God, please be merciful to our rebelliousness. Dear God, please be merciful to our cold hearts, our indifference. Oh, dear God, please bless this invitation. If anybody in this room is not saved, dear God, may you save that soul today. May they realize their need of salvation. They're one breath from hell if they're not saved. And I pray, dear God, whatever else the need is, dear God, just meet the needs of the hearts, the burdens, of the difficulties of the people that are here this morning. Bless them, love them, encourage them. Bless this invitation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Whatever your need is, you do business with God. God's people praying.